We turn in the Word of God to Psalm 119, Psalm 119 and verse 140. Psalm 119 and verse 140. We'll look at other parts of this section of the Psalm, but especially verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Our theme is the believer's love for God's word. The believer's love for God's word. When Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, the Lord Jesus said to the indignant Martha, who was cumbered about with much serving, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That's in Luke 10, 41 and 42. The things about which Martha was concerned and careful were legitimate things, but at that point she was seeing to important things. But at that point, the most important was available. The best was available. The voice of the Son of Man teaching his truth, and that ought to have had priority. And when the word of God is preached, even now, other things must be laid aside, not only outwardly, but in our minds. We must lay aside other things and turn our attention to the scriptures of truth. But let us consider, first of all, a love that only a new nature can have. A love that only a new nature can have. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. This tells us that the purity of God's word causes the believer to love it. It is because it is pure. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Only the pure in heart love the pure word of God. And because it is pure, they love it because it is pure. Not in spite of its purity, nor is this purity an irrelevance. It is the reason, the cause, that the regenerate man responds in love to the word of God. An unrenewed heart can acknowledge the scriptures as true. The devils tremble at the thought of the truth of scripture. Satan misused the word of God in the wilderness, but he used it as that which was true, and yet sought to distort its meaning. In Acts 26 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul says to King Agrippa, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. He knew that Agrippa acknowledged the truth of the Old Testament scriptures. So an unrenewed heart can acknowledge the scriptures as true. An unrenewed heart can someone with an unrenewed heart can learn the scriptures. An unrenewed heart can still acknowledge the harmony of all the parts of scripture and take a certain pleasure in that harmony, in that cohesion, and the way that the different parts of scripture fit together. Someone with an unrenewed heart can take selective pleasure in the word of God. They can take a selective pleasure because by rejecting parts, the sinner rejects the authority of all. He rejects If we reject and select with Scripture, We are rejecting the authority of Scripture as a whole. We are placing ourselves above Scripture and sitting in judgment on Scripture and saying, this is true because I like it, and this, well, I don't like it, so it's not the truth. And because Scripture is harmonious, that is, it is consistent because it's all true, what is rejected will govern how what is professedly accepted is misinterpreted and distorted. A selective acceptance of Scripture means that there will always be a distortion of interpretation of what is professedly accepted. To give an example, if someone denies the truth of the passages which speak of hell, for example, he will always have a wrong view of the cross of Christ and of the love of God. In other words, the rejection, the open rejection of some parts means that the other parts that are allegedly accepted will always be misinterpreted. Because Scripture is consistent with itself, then the rejection of a part means inevitably the misinterpretation of the remainder, as well as the rejection of the authority of all. But then, the renewed heart, the man with a heart born renewed by the Spirit of God, the man who has that taking away of the stony heart and the putting in of the heart of flesh, for him the purity of God's word is attractive. He delights in the very purity of it. And he loves that word because of its purity. The believing soul rests upon God's word as very pure as, or as the margin puts it, refined and tried or refined. In other words, the very purity of the word of God means we can lean upon it with confidence. And the believer, his soul rests upon God's word in its purity. He loves to lean upon it as pure and holy and good and utterly reliable in every respect. Secondly, a love for the word because it is God's. A love for the word because it is God's. Why is this word very pure? Well, it is very pure because the God who gave it is holy and pure. Verse 137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. There is no mixture in the word of God because it's God's, and there's no mixture in God. There is no darkness with God. In him is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And therefore the word that proceeds from his mouth is altogether pure and unmixed. And so we are not dependent upon experts to tell us where the word of God is, to sift out from the scriptures that which is true from that which is not, because it's all true. Isaiah 45 and verse 18 and 19. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. The Lord has not spoken obscurely, so that we have to struggle to find where the Word of God is, as if the Scriptures were a mixture and we had to find the Word in it, and were dependent upon the textual critics and so forth to tell us where the Word of God is. It is very pure. He has given it in its purity, and therefore accessible to its pure, to his people. And God's Word is righteous like himself. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. So God's Word is like himself, pure, righteous. Ungodly men acknowledge this unwillingly. Pharaoh in Exodus 9:27 said, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Donny Bezek in Judges 1:7 says, as I have done, so hath God requited me. There is a despairing acknowledgement of the righteousness of God. Zechariah 1:6, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our doings and according to our ways, so hath he dealt with us. And at the last day, the wicked, the damned, they will know that the Lord is righteous and be unable to deny it. But they won't rejoice in it. But the people of God acknowledge God's righteousness with joy, and they acknowledge the righteousness of his word with joy. His judgments, verse 1:3-7, his judgments, his pronouncements are upright. Upright are thy judgments. The word means straight or right. Back in verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. They are right. The idea of a straight path or a level place, they're right. We ought to be upright too. Psalm 11 and verse 7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. And in verse 138, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. You see, the margin says righteousness and faithfulness. They are righteousness and very faithfulness. As if the psalmist was at a loss to describe the truthfulness of God's word. Everything in the word is true, but also the word of God is ultimate truth. It is truth exceedingly, ultimate truth. Just as Christ said, I am the true vine. Now, there are vines that are real vines, but he's talking about the ultimate, the actual fulfillment of all else. So the pattern of heavenly things in the ceremonial law was a figure of the true, and Christ called himself meat indeed, or true meat. And true drink, there the word true, it means more than true as opposed to false, that's included, but it's the idea of the ultimate as opposed to the shadow. All scripture is true, and it is ultimate truth. It answers the ultimate questions. All that scripture approves is righteous. All that scripture condemns is not. And the way of salvation in Christ crucified, set forth in the scriptures, is righteous, true, pure. This is not bibliolatry. People foolishly say, oh, well, if you take the Bible so seriously, so literally, you're worshipping a book. Nonsense. We're reading, studying, believing a book that tells us absolutely accurately what the God who is light, who is to be worshipped. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and the ungodly cannot love the word of God in its purity, because they cannot love God. They cannot love God as he is, and as he is revealed to be in Holy Scripture. They can love their idea of God, their distortion of God, their notion of God, their preferred concept of God. They can make their own God and worship that God and say, I love God, but they don't. The living and true God is the God who is revealed in Scripture, and those who love God as he is love the Scriptures, which tell us about him. Knowing God by the pure word, that's not bibliolatry, that's not the worship of a book, it's the believing of God's book about God. Thirdly, a love that is not dependent on others. A love that is not dependent on others. Verse 139. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. There is much to discourage love to the Lord and to his word in this generation. There is much that is geared to dampening zeal for God's truth. This is a desperately apathetic generation at best, and increasingly openly hostile generation to the truth of God. And the foundations are being removed, and what shall a righteous do? But our God is in the heavens. And so the psalmist's zeal for God's word was white hot, despite all the dampening tendency of others who held that word in contempt. The younger ones here, you are greatly blessed. You can love God's word and be at one with your parents in doing so. That wasn't true for all of us. For some of us, to love God's word was to run counter to our family connections. But you're greatly blessed. You can love God's word and not be at odds with your parents. But the love of God's word is not dependent on whether anybody else loves it. Those who are born of the Spirit will love the word of God no matter what anyone else does. The psalmist did not need the approval of others, and he didn't get it. Psalm 141, at verse 141, I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. He didn't win the approval of others, and yet he loved God's precepts. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. What a blessing that is, that our fellowship with the Lord through his word is not dependent on our standing with others. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And the fact that others despise the word and despise us because we love it doesn't mean we stop loving. Our love to the Lord and to his word is not dependent upon the approval of others. When we fail to conform to what the world expects of us, we do feel small and despised, don't we? They wink with the eye, as the psalmist speaks of. Sometimes even that unspoken sneering, and we feel small and despised. But he says, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Let them forget them. We will not. Rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, as we are strengthened of the Lord through his word to stand out in an ungodly generation. So we need more of that word by the blessing of the Spirit to help us bear the reproach that it brings. Fourthly, a love to what lasts. A love to what lasts. Verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Verse 144. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. The law is everlasting. Therefore, the righteousness of his testimonies is everlasting. The law doesn't change, so his word doesn't change. He is everlasting, his truth is everlasting. The word endures, the truthfulness of it. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The wind bloweth upon it, and it is gone, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The joys, the loves of the ungodly, they never last. But joys in God and in the word of God do last. It is one of the follies of modern man that he assumes that man is always advancing in his understanding of truth. And so the scriptures are dismissed because we've moved on. Well, we have moved on, but where? We've moved on into darkness. Our country has moved into darkness, from light to darkness. We've moved all right, but not in a progressive, positive, upward way. We've moved downwards. But the assumption of modern man is that the more modern something is, then the more true it is. And this is a pure myth. Because man advances technologically, he thinks he automatically advances in every field, including the knowledge of the truth. But he isn't. In order to understand the truth, in order to have the truth, we must go back to the scriptures. And the reason is simple. God is everlasting, and so his word is everlasting. It doesn't fluctuate. What was true in the word of God, namely all of it, last century, the century before, is true now. Then fifthly, a love that desires understanding. A love that desires understanding. Verse 144, the second half. Give me understanding, and I shall live. It's not merely the beauty of the words that he loves, it's the meaning. And so he wants to understand. It's the truth in the words. He desires to know so as to believe and so as to follow. He doesn't want to be a hearer only. He doesn't want to be like those in Ezekiel, where the prophet preached to them and the Lord says, thou art unto them as one that hath that singeth a song and hath a pleasant voice, for they hear thy words and do them not. Oh, the psalmist desires to know, to understand, and not just so as he can congratulate himself on his understanding, but so as to believe and follow and live by the word of God. He says, give understanding, and I shall live. That is, he would have the life of God flourishing in his soul. He would enjoy the blessings of eternal life abundantly in this world and perfected in that which is to come. His desire is to follow the word. Thy servant loveth it. He is a servant. True believers are all servants of the Lord. The parable of the talents tells us that. One with the 10 talents, one with the 5 talents, they used those talents. They seized opportunities in the work of the kingdom because they loved their Lord. The man with the 1 talent, he showed himself to have the name of a servant, but not the reality. He was numbered among the servants, as it were, in this world. But he never served because he never loved, and he never loved because he never trusted the Lord Jesus and was never born again of the Spirit of God. But the people of God, they love God, they love the word, they want to understand it. Well now, brethren, firstly, we learn from this the truth of God and the love of it is what unites us. That's what unites us as a congregation. Take that away and we have nothing. What unites us as a congregation is the truth of God and the love of that truth. Without that, we may be a bunch of pleasant enough people, but that's not the church of the living God. And this shared love for God and for his truth, not that we are what we should be, not any one of us, nor collectively, but nevertheless, this shared love to God and his truth must be prized and it must be cultivated among us. For this is what the fellowship of heaven will be in its perfection. In heaven, there will be a perfected harmony and fellowship among God's people and their fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And it will be one where there is a perfect love of that which is true. So we should seek the strengthening, the encouragement, the progress of this love to God and for his word. That is what binds us together as the church of God. Then secondly, if your love for the word of God, the pure word of God, has declined, if you are becoming impatient with the word of God because you're stagnating, turn again and seek the Lord. Confess your backsliding to him so that you will recover your first love and do again the first works. Trying to live the Christian life with a stagnant heart is miserable. We need a lively, progressive love for the word of God. And then thirdly, the Lord and his word go together in the affections of his people. They love him as he is revealed, and they love the revelation of him, which is what the scriptures give us. They love Christ. He is the one whom our soul loveth. And where do we find him? Well, first and foremost, in the scriptures. And in those ordinances which the scriptures appoint. But it all has its source in the scriptures. His ordinances simply set forth what is written. And the Lord and his word go together. Let us have no spurious separation of them. You know, this rather pious sounding idea. We love the person, not a book. If you don't love the book, you don't love the person. You can't know the person. You can't know Christ apart from the scriptures. The law and his word go together. We love the word because we desire through it to know the Lord. Let us then be zealous for the truth of God and let the world think of us what it likes. What will it matter? What will it matter in years to come? The fact that someone thought we were a fool, someone at work or at the factory or at the office or whatever, they thought we were a fool because we followed the word of God. What will that matter in years to come? What will it matter in the eternal world that we felt slightly embarrassed? The psalmist says, I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten my words. Because, he says, the effect of these enemies forgetting the words of God actually spurred him to greater zeal for the truth. Same as in earlier on, 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. The world has nothing to offer us. Their contempt of God's word should make us cleave to it all the more. God has given us his truth, not only the written word, but the grace to believe it. And we should cleave to it. So never mind what the world thinks of us. Their opinion will be of little value and ultimately of no value. Love the Lord, all ye his saints, and love his word. Love the Lord who gave that word. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Amen.